you were to give a speech focusing on the challenges facing the world in the 21st century, who would be the most knowledgeable speaker you could get, the one person most intimately familiar with those challenges and their genesis, to give that speech? Our fourth story tonight, well, of course, you'd go to the man who created those challenges, former President George W. Bush, having already taken his option to give his first post-presidential address in this country and symbolically ceded it to Will Ferrell. Mr. Bush had to run to the most conservative city, Calgary, in the nicest nearby country, Canada, and still they needed high security to keep the protesters away. Mr. Bush arrived last night not getting out of his car to not press the flesh and not shake some hands with all those people who were not his fans, who did not line the road, on his way to a restaurant where he did not dine in a public area. For his lunchtime speech today, Mr. Bush was greeted by a couple of hundred protesters, enraging even Canadians enough to throw things and get arrested, while Mr. Bush, basking in his popularity, snuck through an underground tunnel from his hotel to the private luncheon where no media was allowed and no one was allowed to record it or photograph it. It was called a conversation with George W. Bush. Conversation being Bush speak for I converse, you pay $400 Canadian to hear me converse. The protesters outside joining the group Lawyers Against the War, who called on Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper to bar Bush from the country or arrest him for torture and other war crimes. Lawyer Gail Davidson having explained on this news hour last night that Canadian law bars suspected war criminals from entering her country. Let's turn now to Jim Moore, longtime chronicler of all things Bush, co-author of Bush's Brain, and now online at both HuffingtonPost.com and MooreThink.com. Thanks for your time, Jim.
Sure, Keith.
Does Mr. Bush get the humiliating circumstances of this appearance, or does he have some functionary telling him, you know, that Bono guy could only wish that he could sell out the TELUS Convention Center in Calgary, Alberta, Canada?
I don't think he gets it. He didn't get it when he was president, obviously, yeah. So how can he get it now? Certainly not immediately after he leaves office. I think it's interesting the location he chose, because Calgary is at the heart of the oil patch. It's the center of the energy industry in Canada. It's the cowboy capital of Canada. So if there's any place that's going to be friendly to this guy, it's going to be up there. I think another interesting thing is I read one of the quotes when the president, the former president, was leaving. Somebody asked him why he had not criticized President Obama, and he said, "I think he deserves my silence." I would suggest that we all deserve his silence, even the people who paid $400 to see him talk.
So just sit there for like a silent Will Ferrell.
It would be very harmless.
There was a new definitive finding on the matter of torture. We're going to explore that later in the hour. But based on his own admission of authorizing what everybody except him and Fredo call torture, can this man now, and I mean it seriously, travel outside North America without a phalanx of lawyers?
It's an interesting question, and it would obviously create a big international situation, but I'm confident, and I would suspect, that many countries have legal officials and attorneys general who are probably wondering if perhaps they shouldn't do something to reduce this man to custody when he leaves the United States of America. Based on our laws, he's violated laws. We have simply, as a culture, chosen not to prosecute this guy. And if he goes to certain countries, eventually he's going to be confronted by this, would be my suspicion, that there might be a warrant issued. Now, what happens after that, who knows? He's still protected by Secret Service, but it would create a bit of an international incident. And it's easy to make an argument that he's violated laws internationally and people want to hold him accountable. Our culture, our country, our democracy has not yet held this president accountable. Maybe somebody else will.
Give me your suspicion on this other point. He hails from this strain of evangel and Christianity that has given us leaders who are absolutely certain, right up until they are forced to repent by circumstance or evidence or lawsuit. After, you know, 5 or 10 years as global pariah, is there the prospect of a genuine Bush mea culpa somewhere in the distant future, or is it just not? Okay, well, that answers my question.
it's just not going to happen, Keith. It hasn't happened in the history of the Bush family, and I didn't mean to laugh, but we have no incidents or no case of it happening among the Bushes, happening among anybody who's been in his administration. I think it's a fair and important question to ask, but we're all going to grow older and grayer waiting for that to happen. If we're waiting for a Bush to say, "Wait a minute, I'm sorry." As you well know, a part of this speech process and him traveling around making money to give these speeches is putting his spin on history. They're trying to change the way his time in office is interpreted by historians. And to do a mea culpa is not to say we made a mistake, to admit a mistake. It'll screw it all up if they're trying to change history, and they ain't going to do it.
Well, the other thing is, if they want to change history, is they can't have no press there. This has to be recorded, because right now Will Ferrell owns the George Bush revisionist history visual
image. Wings of Taking Dream.
There it is. Yeah. Jim Morth, co-author of Bush's Brain, who gave the most succinct answer to any of my long-winded questions in history, contributor to the Huffington Post and morthink.com. Great thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Keith.